There's an old saying that says there are only two certainties in life. I don't know if I believe that. I think there are three certainties in life: death, taxes, and prayers ending with the expression, "In Jesus' name, amen." This is the authorized way to end a prayer, right? The assumed way that a prayer will end. How else will we know that it's okay to look up, to open our eyes, until we hear those four words, "In Jesus' name, amen"? This tagline is so ingrained in our conscience you probably even say this in your prayers. You might say this in your prayers, even when you pray silently on your own. In fact, I do that because this is the way, from a very young age, I was taught to end my prayers with the expression, "In Jesus' name, amen." And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great expression. It's a perfect way to end prayers. Here's where the problem lies. Some things, like this phrase, can become so second nature to us that we forget why we ever say it in the first place. Have you ever done things like that? That you've learned from a very young age how to do something, or the way that we do something in a given church, either local church or in churches that we're affiliated with, or whatever, you know, however we want to describe that. That there are things that we do it this way because we've always done it this way, and we don't really know why we do it that way. We need to be sure that when we pray, we are actively engaging our minds, so that when we come to the end of a prayer and we use this phrase, "In Jesus' name, amen," we know not only what we're saying, but why we're saying it. We need to be conscious and aware of the words that we're saying in our prayers. In fact, this is what Jesus taught, isn't it, in Matthew chapter 6, when he addressed this very idea of prayer, when he talked about prayer and taught his disciples how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, he says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He goes on to say in verse 7, "When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Don't pray, Jesus says, just to be seen by men. That is to say, don't pray thinking, if I pray using the right kinds of words or the right kinds of formula, if I end my prayer in Jesus' name, amen, then everybody will know that that prayer is good because I use the appropriate words, right? Sometimes we pray to be seen by men because we're looking for men's approval of the things that we say and not God's. Don't pray just to be heard by God. That is to say, don't think that if you say the right things in the right way, then your prayer will reach God. That's why he tells them not to pray with meaningless repetition, because the Gentiles would just pray the same thing over and over and over, thinking maybe they could crack the ear of their gods. But he says, don't do that. We might come to think that way in our own lives. Well, if I just use the approved formula at the end of my prayer, then God will hear. God will have to hear because I've said it the right way. Jesus is far more concerned in Matthew chapter 6 that we pray with the right attitude, praying with intentionality, not with stock phrases. So I want to just talk a little bit about this expression, because it's one we hear a lot in our lives, in our own lives. It's one we hear a lot when we come and assemble together for worship. And I just want to think about with you, in case there might be some here that have not thought about this, why do we end our prayers this way? Why do we say, "In Jesus' name, amen"? Should we be using this phrase? And what does this phrase really mean? Let me answer a couple of these questions in this way. First, why do we pray in Jesus' name? Why do we use that expression? The phrase "in Jesus' name" has become sort of a standard expression in our prayers because it reflects biblical teaching about prayer. In fact, a lot of times that's where our traditions come from. Even if we don't always know why we do something, there's a good chance that if we go back far enough, we'll discover that somebody was trying to apply consistently a biblical principle, and that that is where our ruts come from, our traditions come from. And that's not always a bad thing. And I think that's true of this expression with which we have come to teach our young children to end their prayers in Jesus' name is a standard expression because it reflects a biblical teaching about prayer that we understand. In John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciples that they should ask for things in his name. He says, in my name, you should ask for these things. If you flip over to John chapter 14, this is what Jesus says in verse 13. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He says again in chapter 15 in verse 16, he says this a lot in this section where he's talking to his disciples. In chapter 15, verse 16, he says, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. He says it again in chapter 16 and verse 23. In chapter 16 and verse 23, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that you may, that your joy may be made full. And one more in verse 26. He says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father, on your behalf. So this idea that Jesus teaches his disciples, in fact, several times here in the span of John chapter 14 through 16, there is an expectation here that prayers would be offered in Jesus' name and that these prayers would result in answers being given. So it's not just out of the blue that we grab this expression and throw it at the end of our prayers, right? There's biblical precedence for this, and we understand this. Jesus has an expectation that prayers would be offered in his name. There's a second idea, a biblical idea, that I think might have kind of rooted this expression in Jesus' name in our prayers. Praying in Jesus' name is an acknowledgement, I think, of Jesus' role as high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, that's what the writer there describes Jesus as. Jesus is our high priest. He's the one who allows us to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. But it's not until Hebrews chapter 7 that the writer says things this way. And if I can ever find Hebrews in my Bible, I'll read it to you. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. This is what the writer says. But Jesus, he says, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. He goes on in verse 25, therefore he is able to save us forever, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So in Hebrews chapter 4, he says that through Christ, it is Christ who allows us to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 7, he says the way we draw near to God, to the throne of God, is through him. It's in him in some ways. And he lives to make intercession for us. The Hebrew writer describes some sense in which our prayers can reach God only through the intercessory work of Jesus as our priest. We must pray in him. So I think sometimes that's what we mean when we say, in Jesus' name, amen. The expression in Jesus' name has been adopted into our prayer repertoires as a way to verbalize these biblical ideas in our prayers. This isn't out of the blue, right? This isn't a bad phrase or expression. It comes from biblical teaching. Jesus had expectations that these disciples would ask things in my name, and if they did, I would grant them that. Jesus knew his position as high priest was one through which people would have to intercede, he would have to intercede on their behalf, rather, before the Father. We pray in him. So let me ask this question. Must we pray in Jesus' name? Now, obviously, we have to pray in Jesus' name because that's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. But do we have to use that expression in our prayers? The question needs to be asked, does God require that we include this phrase in prayers? Is this phrase the phrase that sort of puts a stamp of approval on the prayer and gets it to where it needs to go? Or are prayers void without this expression? I think sometimes we might think that, even if we don't say it out loud. Like, you have to say that at the end of the prayer. Let me just be really brief here. This is the too long didn't read version. No. Well, we don't have to say these precise words in our prayer. And the reason I say that is because the Bible never demands that this wording be used in our prayers. Either in command or by example, you take, for instance, the text where Jesus teaches about prayer, right? We read a minute ago from Matthew chapter 6, some of the things that Jesus says about prayer there. But what Jesus goes on to do in Matthew chapter 6 is offer a model prayer. He says, this is how you should pray. These are the kinds of things you should say in your prayer. And this is what it is. You ready? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some manuscripts go on to say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus didn't say in Jesus' name. And you might say, well, Jesus is praying, right? Jesus doesn't need to pray in his name. But remember, he's offering a model prayer. He's saying, this is how my people need to pray. These are the kinds of things that they need to be saying. The model prayer is mentioned again a little bit differently in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. In Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, this is what Jesus says. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And that's where it ends. If ever the Bible was going to demand that we include a phrase like, in Jesus' name, it would be here, but it's not here. In fact, I would encourage you sometime to just go through your New Testaments and find all of the prayers that God's people offered to him. Go find those prayers in the New Testament. You'll find some in the book of Acts. You'll find some in the epistles. And see how they prayed. Look at the words they used in their prayers, and I think you'll find a striking omission. They never said, in Jesus' name, amen. Just as a couple of examples, I'd cite for you Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, which is the end of a prayer that Paul offered for the brethren at Ephesus. And he doesn't offer that stock expression. Rather, what he says in verse 20 is, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. By the way, that's not a prayer in Christ Jesus. He's saying, glory be to God in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 20 is another one. What's really striking is the way we find that the New Testament Christians ended their prayers was not with a stock expression, but was with an outpouring of their heart in praise for God. That's how they most frequently ended their prayers. It's this idea of praise for God being where that they ended. The instruction to include the phrase, in Jesus' name, directly, just isn't there. Okay, but what about John 14, right? Because in John 14, Jesus said that they had to ask in his name, and only when they asked in his name would they grant his prayers. What about this in John 14, verses 13 and 14? What about Jesus' expectation that his disciples would pray in my name? This is where I want to end up here today, and this is the last major point I'll make. I want to talk about what this phrase really means. And I think that'll help us understand why we say it. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? What does it mean when we say that expression? Or to be more specific, what does it mean when Jesus lays down an expectation that we would pray in Jesus' name? Well, let's find our way back to John chapter 14, if you haven't already, and look at that verse again. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, he says very similar things in chapter 15 and chapter 16. But what is Jesus saying here? Why did Jesus instruct his disciples to pray here in my name, only to have none of his disciples ever pray in Jesus' name, amen, ever again in the rest of the New Testament? Why does that happen? Why did Jesus say, pray in my name, but then Paul doesn't pray with those words? Well, I think the point is that there's something more going on here than just saying those words. Why did Jesus instruct here that they ought to pray in his name, but not in his model prayers that he gave them? What did Jesus mean when he told his disciples to pray in my name? Well, to answer that question, we really have to answer a question just a little bit further back of that. And that is to say, what does it mean to do something in the name of another person? Because that's really what Jesus is telling us to do. What does it mean if we say that I am doing something in someone else's name? Well, to be frank and to just be simple and direct about it, it means to act as their representative. For instance, back when the COVID pandemic happened and was, you know, really getting off the ground, our elders sent out a number of emails. And I'll let y'all in just a little bit behind the back door to know what our elders do, all right? Not throwing any of them under the bus, right? This is good work that they do. They come to me and they say, Andrew, we need you to write an email. And of course, they read over that email and approve it and everything, and I'm the one who usually pushes that send button, and that's okay. That's all right. But what I'll typically do in some instances is I'll say, I'm writing for the elders. Or I could say, I'm writing in the name of the elders. What does that mean? Well, the things that I'm writing here represent what the elders told me to convey to you. I am representing what they wanted to communicate to you in that email. I'm writing in the name of the elders. I'm not the elders. I'm not the shepherds, but I am representing them with the words that I bring. But the idea of representation really carries with it even a deeper idea. To accurately represent the elders in those emails, I had to act with the authority that they delegated to me. Representation is really an extension of authority. In other words, if I had written in any one of those emails from the elders letting y'all know that that next Sunday is Bring Your Dog to Church Day, right? Y'all can guess off the bat that, well, that he wasn't really acting within the elders' authority, right? Because we know that they didn't authorize that. He is no longer representing the elders, right? He's no longer speaking in their name. He's gone beyond their name. He's communicating his own ideas. So to represent someone means acting within the realm of the authority that they've delegated to them. That's what it means to act in someone's name. This is what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. Over in Colossians chapter 3, there's a statement there that we're, I think, fairly familiar with. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? As Christians, what Paul is saying, our actions, the words that we speak, must represent Jesus. We are his representatives in the world around us. Therefore, when we act, our actions must be done in his name, with the authority that he has delegated to us. Does Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 mean that every time we do anything, we have to preface it or conclude it by saying the words, in Jesus' name? Well, no, right? That's obviously not what Colossians 3, verse 17 is saying. It's talking about the motive behind what we do and really the substance of what we do. What Paul means in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 is that everything we do must be in keeping with the authority of Jesus. We must be acting as his delegates, as his representatives. We must be acting in his name. And that's what Jesus means in John chapter 14 and verse 14. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus isn't saying, Don't forget to add that tagline at the end of your prayers because it won't be heard without it. It's not what he's saying. Jesus is saying, if you want me to answer your prayer, then you need to pray for things that represent me. You need to pray for things that are in keeping with my will, with my authority. That means praying for a new yacht to go out on Lake Conroe fishing next weekend is probably not gonna cut it, right? You can pray that, it just won't be in Jesus' name, even if you say it. This is a direction to pray like Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. You remember the model prayer. What was Jesus' prayer? At least part of that prayer was, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's praying in Jesus' name. That's praying, acknowledging that His will is to be done and that we are mere representatives trying to bring about that will on this earth. This is a direction to pray like Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39 in the garden when He said, not as I will, but as you will. That's what we should mean when we say, in Jesus' name, amen. So long as the prayer is in keeping with the will of God, so long as the prayer is an adequate representation of what God's desires are in the earth, so long as our prayers represent God's will, let it be done. Amen. There is absolutely nothing wrong with ending your prayer with the expression in Jesus' name, amen. There is everything wrong with saying it without knowing why you're saying it. So long as you know why you are ending your prayers with that phrase, use that phrase. It's a great expression. It's a biblical expression. John chapter 14. We want to avoid mindlessness when we pray. And when we do all things for God. Don't just say things to say them. Don't just say things because they're the way you have always said them or that's because the way the person before you said it. Say things because you have mindfully thought about what they mean and you're trying to communicate that. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to His authority and according to His will. Whether you say in Jesus' name or not, whether you word it that way or whether you find another way to communicate that idea, the reality is, the biblical truth is, all of our prayers need to be prayed in Jesus' name. Prayer is a great blessing that God has given to His people, and we need to not neglect it. We need to not misuse it or mistreat it. If we can pray with you today, if we can help bring you into this kind of a relationship where you can know what it is to pray, truly pray in Jesus' name according to the will of God, we would love to pray with you. If we can help you study to come to an understanding of what God requires to enter a full relationship with Him, a relationship of salvation and redemption, where you can have your sins washed away through the waters of baptism, we would love to have that opportunity to sit down with you to discuss those things and talk about what the Bible teaches about how to enter a relationship where you can freely communicate with your God. If there's anything we can do to help you right now, this is a great opportunity for you to come and let us know how we can serve you today. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing a song of encouragement.